Call the order, municipality of the District of St. Mary's, committee of the whole meeting. Today is Wednesday, June the 3rd, 2026. It is 5:03 PM. Can I have roll call, please?
Warden Fuller.
Here.
Deputy Warden Malloy.
Here.
Counselor Beaver.
Here.
Counselor O'Connell.
Here.
Counselor Tebow.
Here.
Also in chambers tonight is CAO Leslie McFarland, Marion Fraser, Director of Finance and Treasurer, and Janelle Fleet, our municipal clerk. Before you have an agenda, there are a couple of additions to the agenda that we'd like to add. One is under correspondence. We do have a letter in front of you from the Strait Area Mayors and Wardens regarding cell service. I'd like to add that as 7C. And we also have, under other matters of business, Section 8F, a letter in front of you to the executive director of Sherbrooke Village regarding funding allocations. Besides from those two, are there any other additions to the agenda? Hearing none, I'd like a motion to have the agenda approved.
I'll make that motion.
Deputy Warden Malloy, second.
I'll second.
Counselor O'Connell, all those in favor?
Aye.
The agenda is approved. Before you have the minutes of the committee of the whole meeting held Wednesday, May the 6th, 2026, are there any errors or omissions? Errors or omissions? Hearing none then, those minutes are approved. Any business arising from the minutes? Up, we'll move on to correspondence. 7A, the Strait Campus Nova Scotia Community College sister residence. And this is a letter that is proposed from, again, the Strait Area Chiefs, Mayors and Wardens regarding the province's looking into more housing for students, thereby freeing up housing in the community for other people, as opposed to student housing. They're asking all the municipalities in the area to agree with and sign on to that letter. Does anybody have any questions regarding that? Counselor Beaver.
It says by May 26th.
Yeah.
We're still.
Yeah, that was a tentative date. We were not the only ones who didn't have a meeting until after we got the letter.
So they're just waiting time.
Yeah, there's waiting time.
Yeah.
I think it's a good proposal. I think it's necessary.
Well, hearing that, can I entertain somebody to give staff direction to add our name to the letter and prepare it to return it to Richmond?
I will.
Counselor Beaver?
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We'll take care of it. Next is a letter inviting me to go and give a talk at the Siemens Memorial in Kanso on August the 9th at 2 p.m. In order to attend as a representative of the municipality, I would need approval of the council. Unless somebody else wants to go attend this memorial, it was council's pleasure.
Since you usually always go, I will make that so the warden can attend.
Is there an addition to that?
Do you need a motion or
a motion? Yeah,
I'll make the motion that to attend.
Second,
me.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
It is always hot and sunny.
Do we normally make a donation and lay a wreath?
Yeah, we lay a wreath.
Okay.
And then I think it's the next day they take all the wreaths out to one of the sites where they've lost fishermen. And they're biodegradable.
Mm-hmm.
And the addition, you have another letter from the Strait Area Chiefs, Mayors and Wardens. and it's regards to, well, cell service. The intent was they're hoping that if all the area mayors and wardens together send it off to the appropriate ministers, that maybe we can get a little motion on the towers they said that we'd have by now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good letter.
I'll move to move the endorsement of this letter and forward to ministry.
Councilor O'Connell, is there a second?
I'll second it.
All those in favor of staff direction to add our name onto the letter and send it off, say aye.
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 Something else for you to do, Leslie?
Yeah.
Or Janelle. Okay, other matters of business. Number eight, staff report, Weibo Shared Services Agreement and Bylaw. I'll let Leslie talk about this.
Thank you, Warden. So, as you know, we've been talking about Weibo since I got here and long before. And, of course, there is a legislative requirement for us to enter into a Weibo. And, essentially, we are effectively in a Weibo, but without an agreement at the moment, because we did hire our emergency management coordinator, the director of emergency management services, Kelsey Reese, and she came to our, I believe, last meeting and introduced herself and so on. But our plan was, and we had worked that out with the other two parties, which is District of Guysborough as well as the town of Mulgrave, that we were going to hire her and have her help us to go through the process of finalizing the agreement and the bylaw. And that's kind of helpful because it allows her to really have good ownership and understanding of what's happening on this. So she has been taking the lead. Unfortunately, she's away at training tonight, so she wasn't able to be here. But she has been very helpful in taking the lead on all the work on this. So the three municipalities have now each conducted their own reviews, and we've conducted our own legal review as well of the agreement and the bylaw. These are templates that we have from the province, but we have made a few tweaks, and there may be others that come through the process of the hearing process. And if council does have any other observations that they'd like to share with us over the next couple of days, those could still be incorporated in. But at this point, we are looking for your substantive agreement that the content in the agreement and the bylaw are satisfactory for us to move forward to make recommendations for the bylaw to be approved and for the shared service agreement to get to the final stages ready for signing. And as I say, the documents are both provided there. They do highlight the two different committees, the executive committee and the planning committee that exist, and how those are filled. The emergency management executive committee is the council members, and the planning committee is the staff committee. So, and it does talk about the executive committee meetings a minimum 3 times per year and some other terms and conditions around that and how we fill them. I think this is a huge step forward for us in our depth and being able to actually handle a significant emergency here, which today, with the size of staff that we have, we would immediately be going to the province for resources. We wouldn't be able to do things. Not saying that the province wouldn't still support us, because they would, but now with the three parties and the wording of these documents, we're going to be much better able to handle an emergency of any general size. So the wording of the bylaws there as well. I'm happy to take questions for if you'd like to just share any feedback in the next couple of days, like I say, by email, then we can address that and make sure that it gets into the final wording of the document. If there's anything substantive that comes out of all of this, we would bring it back to council, but assuming it's more of minor, then this will move forward for approval at the council meeting on June 17th and then July 15th. And the other parties are moving in the approximately same time frame so that we can have these documents done and behind us and then move into actually getting going on the planning committee meetings and the bylaw. But the other committee meeting, I forget the name of it just for a moment. Emergency Management Planning Committee and Executive Committee meetings, and start having the sequence of actually like living out the agreement and getting the value from them. So happy to take any questions.
So any, we've all reviewed this, so nothing substantial, wording, clearing up some of the maybe confusing sentences, things like that. It all considered non-substantial. Correct. You're not.
That's right. Confusing in the wording or something like that. If you want to identify it, then we can make a slight change. As long as we're not changing, like there's no longer a planning committee or there's no longer an executive committee or the frequency meeting or something like that, that would be substantive. But if it's more just that a certain sentence is not completely clear or something like that, then we will take those and the parties would be happy to receive that feedback from council. So thank you.
Councilor O'Connell.
No, that's that answers my question. Thank you, Warden.
Sorry. Should we consider committee members now? Because it's at 2, I believe. Or wait until we do this.
Let's wait.
Let's wait until we
get that.
I think you are one.
I'm thinking of somebody else. All right. We have recommendations in the staff report. One is recommend council approve entering into the Regional Emergency Management Organization Shared Services Agreement as presented, subject to non-substantive changes, which may be identified through the public hearing process. We have recommend the council repeal the existing municipal measures bylaw. And we have 3 is recommend council approve the Regional Emergency Management Organization bylaw as presented, subject to non-substantive changes, which may be identified through the public hearing process. So let's go through these one by one. Mm-hmm. And let's have a microphone that stays on. So I would be looking for a motion to recommend council approve entering into the Regional Emergency Management Organization Shared Services Agreement as presented, subject to non-substantial changes, which may be identified through the public hearing process. Can I have a motion for that recommendation?
I'll make that motion.
Deputy Warden Malloy.
Seconded.
Council Beaver, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Number 2, recommend council repeal the existing municipal emergency measures bylaw. Be seeking a motion for recommendation number 2.
I'll move to approve.
Council O'Connell.
I'll second it.
Councilor Tebow, all those in favor.
Aye.
Number 2 is approved. Number 3, recommend council approve the Regional Emergency Management Organization bylaw as presented, subject to non-substantial changes, which may be identified through public hearing process. I have a motion for the 3rd recommendation.
I'll make the motion.
Councilor Beaver.
I'll second it.
Councilor Tebow, all those in favor?
Aye.
Those recommendations are all approved. Next is 8. B, the Diamond Finance System end of life. Is that you, Marion?
I'm happy to speak to that.
Speak.
Nice job. So we do have our current financial software platform, Diamond, which is managed by Central Square Technologies, is our finance system, and it is approaching end of life. We are part of 8 other municipalities in a shared arrangement that all use Diamond and all work together to have enhancements made or any changes to our Diamond application, and all working together to figure out what we're going to do as we approach end of life. So all the parties are have researched options, and there are not as many options as we would like, but there is a good solution in the sister company that works closely with Diamond, because it's also part of Central Square. It's called Navaline, and that is the offer that Central Square has put forward to us to consider to seamlessly migrate towards. It would require the least amount of change for staff and for customers. It would have the least impact at this as the same result, because it's just easier and smoother for us to transition data from that system into any other system. So we are proposing that we would move forward with Navaline. All of the other 8 most of the other eight parties, perhaps one is going to try a different solution. But the other seven of the other eight parties are moving forward with Navaline as well. And a lot of factors were considered. We did look at price, customer support, timeline, how we've been doing with satisfaction with service from them. And there's been a number of meetings of the nine of us with Central Square over the last few months, probably before I even got here, to ensure that we're going to be getting the best quality product and service from them. There is a cost increase associated with Navaline. And it's, you know, currently costing us about $32,000 a year. The new system is approximately another $30,000 more. Unfortunately, though, other systems are looking at $300,000 and up in upfront costs. So while this is an increase, it's really the best of the situations that we're dealing with. And when we're looking at that kind of increase from another company, which we wouldn't recommend, obviously, but even if we did, they would have all kinds of other implications for us from a staff perspective to try to migrate our data over to and to be on our own. So right now we really benefit from the other seven parties. And, you know, we have the power of eight parties getting the rates that we are. It's not great. But the other thing is that cost would not affect us this year. It would be something we can budget for next year. So that's been assured. And we have the draft master services agreement and statement of work from them. And that's documented in there. What we really wanted to do was to, before we, you know, pursue further on this, get council's support to continue and to be moving forward on this system. As we're getting close to the point where we would need to be able to make a commitment. So we're happy to take any questions that you might have on this. We will, one thing I should say is we will be able to get all our Diamond data migrated over. We have, I think, 11 years of data.
Close to 15.
Okay. And all 15 years of data would be able to be transferred over. So that's something good as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's positive. I'd say the thing that's the least positive is the price, but they are negotiating that we don't have to pay anything until we're fully migrated and go live. And we're also working on even phasing of how this happens and trying to be in part of phase two so that all the kinks are worked out by some of the bigger municipalities that might have a little more capacity to handle that, so that we can just kind of get a really smooth and simple migration as much as possible. So we have our, like I say, we have submitted the MSA and the SOW to legal review. We've got an initial response that there's nothing too significant, but we don't have the final from legal at this point. But we're looking for authority for myself to enter into the agreement with them. And then we would be able to do full budgeting for this as part of the 27-28 budget before there would be any financial impact to the municipality.
Any questions for Leslie?
Yeah.
Councilor Beaver.
The old system was Microsoft-based. Is the new system Microsoft-based? And the old system was, is there no option to renew it? Or is that just more of an expense?
No, so they're doing end of life support by December 2029. So there'll be no upgrades, no security patches. They're just migrating away from that. Over the last couple of years, they've actually changed companies a few times. So it's Microsoft based, but then it's the taxation component that's really unique within it. And there's not many softwares that actually provide taxation, like municipal taxation. So then the company tailors it to Nova Scotia.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So they've since 2011, we've been with them. So
yeah,
it's a long.
Yeah. I think it's important to stay with what the majority of other municipalities are doing just for
me too.
Yeah, I also think just like especially going to something that will be, I'm sure, slightly different in its ways, to even have that support from the other, like to go off and try something new. Yeah. I mean, and we don't really have another option. It's not like we can, right? Like, it's kind of something.
We have another option.
We do, but it's just, $300,000.
Like, other than, like, there's, it's, yeah, this is really the only option.
Being any more questions, I would seek a recommendation that council authorize the CAO to enter an agreement with Navaline Central Square Solutions for the municipal finance system.
I'll make the.
Debbie Ward Malloy, and then.
Second.
Council, all those in favor?
Aye.
How about it?
Thank you.
Next is a, I think it's the first time for all the new people, a zoning, rezoning request.
Yeah, we haven't asked.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so we were pleased to receive this request as well as the sentiment I'm hearing from council. So very early in May, we started to get an inquiry about this, and it was referred to our development officer at MODG, who provided, I think, great service to the requester and gave him a really clear understanding of what the process is. And so I'll just outline that just for clarity for everyone to understand. There's actually a lot involved, and that's mm-hmm. for a reason, right? Because rezoning means that we're changing the purpose of what that land is used for, which needs the public's input. It doesn't it's an important thing. It needs transparency and needs the opportunity for anybody who has any concerns to bring those forward. And so the process takes a little bit of time, but it does on purpose, so that everyone has a chance to provide any inputs they need to, and that when the rezoning is complete, that everyone is satisfied that all the concerns may have been heard or addressed, and that we're satisfied with whether it's being denied or whether it's moving forward, that the right decision has been made. So they start with an application to council asking that the property be rezoned for the intended use, and we received that on the 8th of May. Once the application is received, then it comes to municipality's planning advisory committee, which the municipality has chosen committee of the whole to also act as our planning advisory committee. So that's why this is coming forward tonight. You're meeting right at this moment as the planning advisory committee. That's just the way we've defined it. And that's just consistent with what PASBRA does as well. So then, as planning advisory committee, you review the application and you can make three decisions. You can deny, you can refer back to staff for more information, or you can approve or recommend that it goes forward to council for approval. And if you approve that it recommend that it proceed, then it gets referred to council for a motion to authorize staff to schedule the required public hearing. And then it has to be advertising from the public hearing has to be a clear 14 days prior to the hearing. So it's very strict timelines. And then once the public hearing is held, it goes before council again for a final decision. And that decision could be to approve, deny, or again, seek more information. And then if it's to approve or deny, then we're required to again place an additional ad setting out the right for anyone to appeal council's decision. And that appeal period is another 14 days from the date that the ad was published. And then if the rezoning was approved and the appeal period has lapsed and there are either no appeals or any appeals have been satisfactorily dealt with, then we could issue a zoning confirmation for the intended use for that person. So it gives lots of opportunities to the public to hear about that. So then the specifics of this case, we were very happy that Debbie Torrey, our development officer, supported us in preparing this briefing note for us, which isn't something she normally does, but she is very kind to do that and very helpful for us working with her. So the gentleman's looking for a motor vehicle inspection station. That's what he wants the purpose to be. The spot that he has it is 30 Bill Hapes Road in Ecom Secom, which is currently zoned rural resource, which is very consistent around the municipality. And that does permit many types of commercial use as well as light industrial uses, but it doesn't include uses related to automotive repairs or sales. That's not a permitted use inside that zone as per our municipal planning strategy and land use bylaw. So in order for him to operate a motor vehicle inspection station, he needs to apply for rezoning to general commercial or GC. So he has done that, and we have taken his application fee. So I can confirm that that's been received. And so the next steps is, and it's all outlined, there's a flow chart and everything in our land use bylaw process. So what happens is council has to consider it, and in considering it, you have a number of factors to consider, and those are identified in the staff report that she prepared, like ability to absorb any public costs, et cetera, et cetera. They're all itemized there. Any impact on drinking water, central water, which is not applicable, any possible creation of traffic hazards or congestion. This is on a side road, not on Highway 7. So I think that that's not a concern. Adequacy of fire protection, proximity to schools, community facilities, worsening pollution problem, climate change risk, etc., habitats or species at risk, etc. It's already got like a facility there. It's not changing that. It's just changing the use of that facility, suitability of grade, etc. But again, it's not really, this one's not for him to, at the moment, he's not constructing something. He's changing the use of the structures that are there. So she has prepared on, in her conclusion section, a summary of the policy there and the things that are to be considered. She's indicated that the report has been completed, that it's not applicable to, it doesn't require municipal, provincial, or federal, or any other kind of approval. That's just not a requirement in this case. It's a local matter. It does comply with all legal requirements concerning amendments to the land use bylaw. So it doesn't need a whole revision of the municipal planning strategy. It's just a revision to the zoning for this particular property. We do part D there where we ensure how we follow the public engagement requirements, which I already spoke to. The fees have been received. Again, it does conform. And then it's she's suggested that it's not premature or inappropriate by reason of any of the above. So it goes on and on about all the things I already just mentioned, that it does, you know, it will need to meet building and fire codes, et cetera, et cetera. And then she has a little map there that shows the location of the PID that's involved. And then that really leaves that up for committee of the whole or planning advisory committee, as we are at the moment, to determine and make any recommendation to council. And if so recommended, then the committee of the whole, acting in the capacity of the planning advisory committee, could recommend that council authorize staff to schedule a public hearing at the for the rezoning request. And that would need to be after the next meeting of council. So that would, the earliest that could be would be July 15th, because that's the soonest that we could have had a recommendation at council on June 17th, and then done the minimum 14 days clear notice period. We would be putting this in the Goddesboro Journal on, and that would mean July 24th and July 1st. And then we would be having a public hearing, subject to committee of the whole tonight being satisfied with this, July 15th. So we would have hold a public hearing prior to the meeting of council on July 15th, but at the same time, so at 5 p.m. And that would be advertised as a public hearing. Again, we would also put that on our website and Facebook page. And then if that's okay, then that would go forward right immediately afterwards, if there are no objections brought forward at the public hearing, to council that same night. And if, again, there are no concerns brought forward that same night, then if the application is to approve, then a further ad would go in on July 22nd. The 14-day appeal period would end on August 5th. This is the best case scenario, or the fastest scenario. And then, assuming there are no appeals or appeals are resolved, after the earliest could be August 10th, we could inform the gentleman that his zoning request was approved. So it is a lot to it, and but subject to committee of the whole's satisfaction with the recommendations of the development officer.
Planning advisory
committee. The planning advisory committee, exactly. Then that would be the process and what could take place.
Yeah. So is that two readings and a public hearing?
Yes.
Is there more than that?
There's two readings and a public hearing on the same night as the second reading. That's the best case scenario to accelerate this, assuming there would be no concerns raised.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot.
And I think reading Deborah Torrey's report, it's very complete. And she's thorough.
Very.
Yeah. Are there any concerns as far as what was presented? And hearing none, to entertain a motion that the Committee of the Whole, acting in the capacity of the Planning Advisory Committee, recommend that council approve staff to schedule a public hearing for the rezoning request for PID number 375-29856 at 5 p.m. on July 15th, 2026, immediately prior to the meeting of council. Can I have a...
I'll move to approve.
Councilor O'Connell? That was second.
I'll second.
Deputy Warden Malloy, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion or recommendation is approved.
Thank you.
Okay, next is staff report on the IDAAA citizen member appointments. This, I could do this. It's really easy.
Yes.
This one's really easy. We have four vacant positions and we have four applicants. I would see how did you word this? Since this is all stapled backwards. I would recommend that we appoint applicant one, applicant two, applicant three, and applicant four to the Inclusion, Diversity, Equity, Anti-Hate, and Accessibility Advisory Committee. I have a motion for that recommendation.
I'll make that motion.
Deputy Warden Malloy, second.
I will.
Councilor Tebow. All those in favor?
Aye.
Congratulations, applicant one, applicant two, applicant three, applicant four, for appointments in the four positions.
Are they appointed every year?
Yes.
You did the same thing.
Yeah, every year.
Yeah.
That's the IDEAA committee policy.
Okay.
Yes.
Too many acronyms. We need shorter acronyms. All right, we have a staff report regarding the Pride Weekend flag raising ceremony. Do you want to speak to that?
I can speak to that. So we're looking for council direction regarding potentially holding a flag raising ceremony to kick off Pride Weekend. So as you know, the municipality's flag policy lists 10 annual events, including the Pride Month, for which flags are raised on the second flagpole at the intersection of Old World Hill and Highway 7. And the policy also does provide the opportunity for the public to request a flag raising ceremony. On most occasions, as you know, the approved flags are raised without a ceremony, but I am aware of at least one flag raising ceremony that has taken place in the municipality in the past. So as per the flag policy, we do raise the Progress Pride flag first thing in the morning of June 1st, which it was, and continues to be, and it remains flying throughout the month of June, and except for one day when it's replaced with... I'll tell you, the Mi'kmaq Grand Council flag for National Aboriginal Day on June 21st. So the Progress Pride flag would be lowered that morning. The Mi'kmaq Grand Council flag will be raised that one day. And then the following day, the Progress Pride flag would be raised again. And but other than that, it's raised for the entire month. However, Sherbrooke Pride is hosting multiple events throughout the municipality on the weekend of June 12th to 14th. And the municipality is contributing a lot of things. We've obviously made social media posts about this. We've promoted our own support for Pride in general, as well as promoting the Sherbrooke Pride events. We've also provided grant funding, as you know, as requested. And we've supported the weekend by printing flyers. We're organizing a tie-dye t-shirt event and other forms of support specifically for that weekend. So although a formal request for a flag raising ceremony has not been received, Sherbrooke Pride organizers have advised that they would be pleased to attend if a ceremony were organized. And in recognition of the fact that there are multiple events taking place over that particular weekend, it may be appropriate. Council may wish to hold a flag raising ceremony to kick off those weekend celebrations. So as we only have the Progress Pride flag, we don't have any other sort of
you know, pride flag or type of flag that could be raised. The council, if council wishes to host a flag raising ceremony, then what could happen is the pride flag, progress pride flag could be lowered midday and then raised again at 4 p.m. On the afternoon of Friday, June 12th, which is the beginning of the activities for the weekend. There could be brief remarks by a member of council, and a photograph could be shared or captured and shared on the municipal website and social media, just to again promote the Sherbert Pride events and show the municipality support for the weekend's events and for Pride in general. If so done, then it's recommended that advance notification would be given to both Sherbert Pride, who may want to provide representation at the ceremony, as well as to the public on the municipal website and Facebook, so that members of the public that wanted to come would be welcome to do that. And so we do have a recommendation that council consider hosting a flag raising ceremony to kick off celebrations for Pride Weekend, June 12th to 14th, 2026. And if you do recommend doing that, our recommendation would be that you, at this point, recommend to council also to annually do so every year that weekend pride celebrations are held, so that this staff report could be one and done, and we could have it from now on going forward.
And if there's no events?
If there's no weekend pride event, then we would still fly the flag all month, as we do, but it's kind of being raised at that specific time in recognition of the, you know, significant like weekends events in this particular occasion.
Yeah, because I saw where Anna Canisius, theirs had their flag raising the first of the month, and Port Hawkesbury had theirs, and like a few of the other like towns already did theirs at first. So, but we're leaving this just because of, this is something different, like special for that weekend.
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
This is only because those towns don't actually do a weekend celebration type event. And this is, the flag's still up.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this, the flag raising ceremony is basically to kick off events that a lot of the other municipalities don't have. I know Lizzie just dying to recite policy, but that's the basic reason why this it's up now.
It's up now.
But this is more of a public acknowledgement of weekend activities.
No, I was just wondering the difference between other towns and municipalities that they do theirs on the first.
But this, again, last year council approved the current flag policy that we have. And in that policy, it says that anybody of the public can come forward and request any flag raising that they would like. But the council doesn't have, by policy, any flag raising ceremonies for any of these events. No. The flags are raised, however, and that's as directed by council last year. If council would like to make a change to that policy, then that's absolutely available, and we could take that away and make recommendations back to council. But at the moment, that's just the practice based on the policy that we have in place. And it's really staff that are just recommending that, since there's a pretty significant set of activities over that course of the weekend, that there may be something that council wants to do to recognize those weekend's activities going forward. But there are absolutely alternatives that are available.
No, I like this one because it starts on, their activity starts on the 12th. So this is good to do with this one.
Like a starting gun.
Yeah. And we're off.
That being said, there's a recommendation the council consider hoisting. Raising a flag.
Hosting.
Hosting. Oh, God, my glasses back on. Hosting a flag raising ceremony to kick off celebrations for Pride Weekend, June 14th, 12th to 14th, 2026, and annually every year that weekend Pride celebrations are held.
I will make that recommendation.
Thank you, Deputy Warden Malloy. Is there a seconder?
I'll second.
Thank you, Councillor Tebow. And all those in favor, please hoist your hands.
Aye.
Hoist.
Host. Okay, I'm putting my glasses back on. All right, there is 8F, and it is the letter that you have in front of you for grant funding allocation.
I can speak to this just to say that, you know, council did approve $2,000 for grants to organizations as part of the budget, as that's in addition to the previous $4,000 that was provided in January 2026. And those were both upon council's request, contingent on having the, I don't know what the branding will be, but I'll call it old-fashioned Christmas, but it might be Christmas at Sherbrooke Village events this coming year. So this proposed letter would be to inform the Sherbrooke Village of that, but also in light of council's, you know, stated concerns and having hosting the meeting this earlier in March to provide support for Sherbrooke Village, this letter would invite Sherbrooke Village to identify what other supports may be necessary in order for them to be able to go ahead with the Christmas at Sherbrooke Village events again this year. And pending bringing that forward, that that could potentially be something that, in addition, council through whether it's your district grants or other methods, depending on what the requirements are, potentially additional supports beyond this $2,000 and $4,000 could be made available to ensure this important event is able to go forward. Thank you.
Any questions for Leslie? Then I would be looking for staff direction to send the letter.
I'll move to approve.
Councillor O'Connell.
Yeah. Seconded.
Councillor Meaver. All those in favor?
Aye.
Staff direction. That being the end of our agenda, it is 5:45 p.m. and the meeting is adjourned.